Boker Tov, good morning. Today's class, we are doing Daf Pe Dale, Daf 84. Today's class will be for the Refuah, Shalama, Valachonim, Vichladam, Chemda, Barchon, and Zan, and the Mechan, Ben Rifka, Sarah, and Mirsha, and Sarah, and Mirchon, and Fabi, and Rifka, and the Rifka, and the Sarah, 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 and the Sarah,
Okay, we left off on Pei Gimel Amud Bet 83b towards the bottom of the page. Ibaya Lahu, about 10 lines, 15 lines from the bottom of the page. We have a halakha question. Katav la din udvarim ein le b'nechasayich. If he says, I don't have a claim or an argument with your properties. Again, we're talking about the nechse melog, the melog properties. So, upere perot, and the fruits of your fruits, mahu sheochal perot. What is the din? Is he allowed to eat the fruits? He said, I don't want to have anything to do with your property and the fruits of your fruits. Can he eat the fruits though? That's the question. So the Gemara says, Mipere perot salik nafshe, mipere lo salik nafshe, is maybe he only removed his rights from the fruits of the fruits, but from the regular fruits he did not remove his rights. Or Dilmar, perhaps, mikol mile salik nafshe, or maybe from all matters he removed his rights, and therefore he cannot even have the fruits. So the Gemara says, Pshita, de mikol mile salik nafshe. It makes sense that for sure he removed his rights from all aspects, from any type of fruits. So the Gemara says, Dei amart mi pere perot salik nafshe. Because if you say he only removed his rights from the fruits of the fruits, mi pere lo salik nafshe, and from the regular fruits he did not remove his rights, kevan dachalinu le perot, once he's eating the fruits, pere perot mehecha. Where do the fruits of the fruits come from? Right? If you remember yesterday we explained, the fruits of the fruits are what? If a person, the husband, he takes the fruits, the produce from the nechse melog, from her property, he goes and sells them, he buys the land with that money, and he produces fruit. That's fruits of the fruits. So how can he produce fruits of the fruits without the fruits itself? So it must be coming from the fruits itself. So the Gemara says, okay, but elita amich, according to you, haditnan, that's what we taught in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, le'olam hu ochel pere perot v'chule. No matter what, you can eat the fruits of the fruits, no matter what, until you say, I don't have anything to do until the end, right? Ad olam. So he says, kevan dachalino le pere, once he's eating fruits, pere perot mehecha. Where do the fruits of the fruits come from? So it must be coming from the fruits itself. Ela b'dishayra, it's talking about in that case of Rabbi Yehuda, that she left over some of the fruits, she didn't finish all of the fruits. So too in our case, hachanami b'dishayr, it must be talking about a case of where the husband left over some of the primary produce, and he invested those in buying a new land, and then with that new land, he brought more produce. That's what it must be talking about. Okay, and still it must be that our initial question still stands. We don't necessarily have an answer to our question. If he says this phrase, "Dinu dvarim ein minichasayehu pere perot," is he allowed to eat the fruits or not? It's not so clear. Okay, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, we said Rashbag in our Mishnah. So the Gemara comes and says, "Amar Rav halacha ke Rashbag." The halacha follows the opinion of Rashbag. But not according to his reasoning. Meaning the halakha follows his opinion, but not according to his reasoning. So the Gemara says, "My halakha ki rashbag, v'la mitame." What do you mean the halakha follows his opinion and not according to his reasoning? So the Gemara says, "Ilema." Maybe it means matnei amashu ketuv b'Torah. Maybe ilema halakha ki rashbag. The halakha follows rashbag. The amar that he says, "Imeta." If she dies, yirashenna, that he can inherit her. Vilav mitame, but not because of the reason that he said, the ilu Rashbag savar, because the Rashbag said, matne al masha ketuv b'Torah, tena'o batel. Because somebody who makes a condition on something that's written in the Torah, his condition is batel. But verav savar, rav holds, tena'o kayam, that someone is allowed, this is the machlok that I was referring to yesterday, someone is allowed to make a condition on something written in the Torah according to Rav. But over here it's different, because savar, yerushat habal derabanan. Rav holds that the inheriting of a husband to his wife is only derabanan. And the Chachamim made strength to their words stronger than Torah to not be able to mevatel the Tanai, meaning they could have accepted this Tanai to be a condition on the Torah. The Chachamim could have made such an allowance, but they said, you know what, we're going to void the stipulation, this Tanai that was made in this type of case. So this is what he's saying. He's saying the halakha follows the opinion of Rashbag, who says, that if she dies, he inherits her, but not because of his reasoning. Not because of the reasoning that you're allowed to make, if you make a condition on the Torah, your condition is batel, rather your condition is accepted. Over here it's only because of a Yerushat HaBal is only Derabbanan, the inheritance of a husband is only Midirabbanan. Chachamim made a chizuk for the word, stronger than Torah. Okay, flipping the Amut. Is Savar Rav Tanao Kayam? Is Rav of the opinion that someone who makes a condition on what's written in the Torah, his Tanai, is accepted? Veha Itmar, we learned, Ha'omer l'chavero, if someone says to his friend, this is also Nosach in Makot, Al menat she'en lecha alai on'a, if somebody says to his friend, I'll sell you this item, on condition that you don't have any say of on'a, any price fraud against me, so I'm trying to take advantage of you, you can't say that. So Rav Amar, Rav says, Yesh lo alav ona. He still has a price fraud. You can still make a price fraud. Because you can't make a condition on what's written in the Torah. V'Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Ein lo alav ona. No, he does not have this right to say, you cheated me, you deceived me. So what do you see from here? It sounds like Rav is of the opinion that somebody who makes a tanai on what's written in the Torah, his tanai does not count. So when it says, Ela halakha ker rashbag, rather halakha follows rashbag, the amar, hamatneh, masha kadu batorah, tanao batel. Who says that somebody who makes a condition on what's written in the Torah, his condition is batel, is nullified. But love me ta'ameh, but not from his reasoning, the ilu rashbag, because the rashbag holds, savar, meta yirashena. He holds that if she dies, he can inherit her. Rav is saying, v'rav savar, meta lo yirashena, that if he dies, if she dies, he would not inherit her. Maybe that's what we're talking about. So what does it mean? Halakha ke rashbag, that you can't make a condition on what's written in the Torah. And what does it mean? Not according to his reasoning, that if she dies, he would not inherit her. Okay, so the Gemara says, but that's not halakha ke rashbag v'lav mita'amei. That's hay mita'amei v'lav ki hilchetei. That's we're following his reasoning, but we're not following his halakha. Who? So ella halakha ke rashbag de'amar imeta yirashena. It must be halachas like rashbag that if she dies, husband will inherit her. V'lav mita'amei, but it does not follow his reasoning. De'ilu rashbag savar, because rashbag holds b'de'oraita tana'o batel. That if someone makes a condition on a Torah law, his tanai is batel. But if someone makes a condition on a rabbinic enactment, on a rabbinic law, Rashbag holds tanao kayam, that the condition counts. Ve'rav savar, and Rav holds afilu b'derabanan tanao batel. That even midrabanan, even on a rabbinic law, Rav holds that the tanai is batel. So maybe that's what he's saying. He's saying, I hold like his halakha, that he inherits her, but not according to his reasoning, because I hold that by a derabanan law, there's no tanai. So the Gemara says, hay keta'ame v'keilchatehu. You're following his halakha, and you're following his reasoning. You're following both. Verav Mosifu, and Rav is just adding on to it and saying that you can't even make a tanai on a derabanan. He's just adding on to it. So that's not what we're saying. Ela halacha ke rashbag. Rather, the halacha follows the rashbag, the amar, that he said, imeta yirashena, that if she dies, the man inherits her. Vilav mitame, and it's not following his reasoning, the ilu rashbag, because the rashbag said, savar, yerushat habal deoraita. This was the machloket from yesterday. The Yerushat HaBaal is deoraita, is an obligation. It's deoraita. He has an aspect of being able to inherit his wife. Whereas vechol hamatne al masha katub baTorah, and anyone who makes a condition on what's written in the Torah, tanao batel. His tanai is considered nullified. Verav savar, Rav holds Yerushat HaBaal derabanan, that the inheritance of a husband to his wife, Rav holds, is only derabanan, and so therefore vechachamim asu chizuk lidivrehem kishel Torah. The Chachamim made strength to their words, like the words of Torah, in order to void such a tanai, to avoid such a condition. Right, so this would be the machloket. So this is how Rav is saying halachas like Rashbag, but not according to his reasoning, because I say that Yerushat HaBaal, inheritance of a husband to his wife, is only derabanan. That's what the machloket is. So the Gemara now asks a small little question. Rav savar Yerushat HaBaal derabanan. Does Rav hold that inheritance of a husband to his wife is only derabanan? V'hatnan, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Meroka, Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Hayoresh et ishto, someone who inherits his wife, Yachazir libnei mishpacha. When the Yovel year arrives, he has to return the value, return what he, you know, the land that he got after for inheritance, he has to return it back to her family. And he has to discount it from the price. So the Gemara says, V'havenan ba, and we dived into this and we tried to understand this. Maika savar, what did he hold? Ika savar Yerushat HaBaal deoraita. If he holds that inheritance of a husband to his wife is deoraita, then why does he have to return the land in the Yovel year to his wife, to his wife's family? Amay yachzir, why does he have to return it? V'idrabanan, and if the inheritance of a husband is only drabanan, damim mai avitaihu. What do you mean you have to discount the price? You give it back to them altogether. There's no money involved whatsoever. You wouldn't sell it to them. So how can you find a case that you would discount it? The Amar Rav, Rav says, Le'olam kasavar yerushat ha'bal de'oraita. Really, he holds that inheritance of a husband to their wife is de'oraita. It's from the Torah. Okay, go on. And what we're talking about, Shehorishatu ishto beit ha'kvarot. He inherited from his wife a cemetery. And mishum pegam mishpacha, because of the pegam, the not so good thing in the family, we said amur rabbanan said lishkol dame vilehader, value how much the cemetery is worth and return back to the family in the yovel year what it was worth, what the cemetery is worth. And what did we mean by saying umay yinake lahen min adamim, that you should discount the price? What does that mean? Dmei kever ishto, that was referring to the value of his wife's kever, of his wife's burial site. Decrease, discount that, decrease it from its value, and give it back to them. That's what I meant by yinake lahem min adamim. Kedatani, as the Braita says, hamocher kivro, if someone sells their burial, v'derech kivro, or the path to the burial, ma'amado, the place of the ma'amad, where they would, you know, pick up the body, stop, and say words of nechama, umakom hespedo, or the place of eulogy, if he sold any of these places, ba'in benimishpecha, v'kovrinoto ba'al korcho, the family would come and still bury the person there, even if he sold it. It doesn't matter. They can still come and bury the person there. Why? Mishum pegam mishpecha. Because of a pegam in the mishpacha, we don't want this pegam to be in the family, so we allow them to bury them. But what's the point here? What's it trying to prove? It's a contradiction. Rav, we thought at first, was saying that Yerushat HaBaal is only derabanan, that inheritance of a husband to his wife is only derabanan. Over here, Rav is saying Yerushat HaBaal is deoraita. The inheritance of a husband to his wife is deoraita. So how do you explain Rav? So Rav comes and says, Rav leta'amei de Rabbi Yochanan bim Beroka ka'amar. Rav was only explaining Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. He wasn't explaining his own opinion. Ve'leilo svir, that he doesn't hold like him. Rabbi Yochanan bin Beroka holds that Yerushat HaBaal is the Oraita. And Rav holds that Yerushat HaBaal is the Rabbanan. That would be the Machloket. Okay, new Mishnah. Mi shemet v'eniach isha u'ba'al chov v'yorshin. If someone dies and he leaves his wife, ba'al chov, someone who owes money, v'yorshin, and let's say inheritors, so v'haya lo pikadon o milva, and he had a deposit by someone, or he had a loan he gave to someone, biyad echerim, in somebody else's hands, Rabbi Tarfon says, yinatenu lakoshel shebahen. You give those to the weakest of the three. The weakest of the inheritor, or the wife, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Akiva says, no, ein merachamin bedin. We don't have mercy in judgment. Ela yinatenu leyorshin. You give it all to the inheritors, shekulan tzarchin shevua, because all of those people need to swear to receive it, and to show that they didn't receive it already. Ve'ena yorshin tzarchin shevua, whereas the inheritors are on such a close level that they do not need a swear. Right? Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, ditnan b'pirkin, we learn in our parak, haba lipara min yetzei yetomin, someone who wants to come and get paid from the money of the orphans, lo yipara ela b'shuva, you can only be porea with a swear. Because man shalo nishbeo, ein lahin reshut b'hem. And anytime the people don't swear, they don't have any permission to come and take the property from the orphans. So the orphans, the inheritors, the only ones that don't need to swear, they get the money right away. They get the property right away. So the Gemara then comes and says, "Hiniach perot telushin." If the man left fruit that was detached from the ground, minakarka telushin minakarka. Kol hakodem b'hen zacha b'hen. Anyone, the first one who comes and grabs those produce, he is the one who is zocher and he owns the produce. Zachta isha yoter miktubata. If the woman, let's say, merited more than what her ketubah valued. Ubal chov yoter al chovo, or let's say the person that was owed money, he merited by grabbing more than what he was owed. Hamotar, what do we do with the leftover, the extra part that was paid more? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, yinatenu lekoshel shebahen, you give it to the weakest of the three. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, ein marachamin bedin, we don't have mercy and judgment. Ela yinatenu leyorshin, we give it to the inheritors. Shekulam tzirchin shevua, vein hayorshin tzirchin shevua, because everyone needs to swear, but the inheritors do not need to swear. This is our Mishnah, two different cases. So the Gemara now comes and says, lama li lemitne milva, lama li lemitne pikadon. Why do we need to state that he has a loan or he had a deposit by other people? So the Gemara says, tzircha, you need both. De'itana milva, if it would have only taught a loan, behaka amar Rabbi Tarfon. That's what Rabbi Tarfon was saying when he said, mishum de milva lehotza'an nitna, because a loan is meant to be given out. Aval pikadon, but a deposit, de'ite be'inei, it is physically there, we see the deposit, we know where it is, we know exactly what it is and where it is. So I would have thought, ema moide le'er Rabbi Akiva, I would have thought that he would agree in this case to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that we would give it to the inheritors. That's why we needed to teach the case of a loan, of a pikadon. Ve'itana ha, and if only would have taught a case of a deposit, Behaka Amar Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying, that it goes to the inheritors. Aval behach, but maybe in the case of the loan, if let's say the man died and he had a loan that he gave to someone, Ema Moide Le Rabbi Tarfon, I would have thought that maybe Rabbi Akiva agrees to the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. That what do we say? That our Mishnah said, we give it to the weakest of the three. Maybe that's what I would have thought. So that's why the Gemara says, Tzricha, you need both cases. You need the case of Pikadon, of a deposit, and you need the case of a loan to teach the Machloket of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in both cases. The Gemara then comes to say, Maila Koshel, what does it mean the weakest of the three? So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Omer, he says, Le Koshel Sheberaya, the weakest of the proof, meaning somebody whose document is Me'uchar, he has a late document, and he can't come and take the money from the Lakuchot. So that type of person, we would help him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lekdubat Isha. No, it's for the woman who's a Kdubat Isha. What does that mean? Rashi says, He kruya koshel, she is called the weakest, She'in darkal chazer achar nechsei meh. She's not going to go after the properties of the dead person, of the husband. V'levakesh hechan yesh lo karka. And to ask, right, a woman's husband dies, she's not going to go and search which property did he have, which did he not. Why? Because she's getting the ketubah. So she's considered the weakest of the three. And the Gemara says, Mishum china. It's because of favor. So that the men find favor in the women's eyes and marry them. And the women would not have to worry to lose their ketubah because they're receiving the ketubah, so they don't have to worry about that. It's so the women would be considered the weakest of the three. So the Gemara says, this is like a machloket tanaim that we have. Ketanaim. We have a machloket tanaim. Rabbi Binyamin says, Lekoshel sheberaya vehu kasher. It's talking about the weakest of the proof, meaning a person whose documents are me'uchar, they're late documents, and he is kosher. Rabbi Eliezer says, Lektubat isha mishum chinah. It's talking about a woman who has a ketubah, and it's because of him finding favor in her eyes, so we say that you don't have to worry, you will receive your ketubah no matter what. That's who would receive this. That's who would receive this. What we're talking about in our Mishnah, that we said this, it goes to the weakest of the three, either the pikadon, the loan, or the deposit, will go to one of them. Hinyach perot lushin. We said if we left over detached fruits, so the Gemara then said. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva, my iriyah motar." Why is Rabbi Akiva focusing on the aspect of the leftover? Right. What did we say in our Mishnah? We said if there were fruits. And whoever comes and grabs them can take them. So if the woman grabs them, they're hers. If the inheritors grab them, they're his. They're theirs. Whoever grabs them, the person who's owed a debt, if he grabs them, they're his. But what if a person grabs more than what they're owed? So we said in our Mishnah, you take the leftover, and what do we do with the leftover? Let's go back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon said you give it to the weakest. Rabbi Akiva said no, we give it to the inheritors. So the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, why do you give only the leftovers? According to Rabbi Akiva, we said everything goes to the inheritors. So the Gemara says, "Kulu nami diyorshin havu." Everything should go to the inheritors, not just the leftover. So the Gemara says, "Ena chinami." You're right. That's what we do. Va'aydi damar Rabbi Tarfon. Since Rabbi Tarfon said motar the leftovers, so tana ihu nami. So too Rabbi Akiva taught motar. He taught the leftovers as well. But really, what he meant was everything goes to the inheritors. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva, tfisa lo mehanya klal." What does Rabbi Akiva not hold of this aspect of going and grabbing something? If someone goes and grabs it, it belongs to them. Does he not hold of this? So the Gemara says, "Amar Ava, Amar Rav Nachman, vehu shetafas mechayim." It's only effective if the person grabbed it during the father's lifetime, while the father was still alive, right? But if let's say the creditor, he grabbed it not during the father's lifetime, so therefore he would not be able to take it for himself. Okay, but according to Rabbi Tarfon, we said in our Mishnah that you can grab it. Deman chihecha. Where is it lying that the person can come and grab it, right? He said that, if the widow or the creditor comes to grab the fruits after the father's death, so they own it now, it belongs to them. So where is this produce lying that the father dies, that it's still able to be grabbed and owned by anyone? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Damri Tarvayu, they both say, V'huch tzavurin munachin b'Rashut HaRabim. It's piled up in the public domain, in the Rashut HaRabim, and anyone who wants to can come and grab it. Aval besimta, lo, but if it was in a corner by the Rashut HaRabim, meaning not in the actual public domain, by Keren Zavit, that's close to the Rashut HaRabim, that would not be the same deen, and they cannot grab it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they both say, the Amri Tarvayu afilu besimta, even if it's in a corner next to the Rosh Darabim, they can come and grab it. The Gemara then comes and brings a story. Don Dainek Rabbi Tarfon. The judges came and brought a case and ruled like Rabbi Tarfon, who said that whoever grabs it can keep it. Grabs the properties can keep it. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ahderei Reish Lakish le'uvda minayu." Reish Lakish heard about this. He went and retracted the opinion. He said, "No, this is incorrect," and he flipped it. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Asita keshel Torah. What are you doing? You're making this seem like it's a mahalacha Moshe Sinai that someone who did like one opinion, you have to come and retract his opinion. Okay, maybe lechatchila we do like Rabbi Akiva, but bediavad, if someone grabbed the fruits, grabbed the produce, it belongs to them. Bediavad, let them keep it." The Gemara says, "Lema b'hakam miflegi." Let's say this is the machlok, and we're going to focus pretty much on the rest of the daf on what the machlok is. Demor savar ta'av devar mishnah choser, that Reish Lakish holds that someone who makes a mistake in a devar mishnah, something that is a mishnaic a talmudic mishnah, you retract, you go back and you retract on it. Umor savar and Rabbi Yochanan holds ta'av devar mishnah ino choser. If you make a mistake by a mishnah, you don't have to go back. Let's say that's the machloket. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not the machloket." De kulei alma, everybody really agrees to abed var mishnah chozer, that if you make a mistake in a mishnah, you have to go back and retract on your opinion. Ve'acha behaka mitzvah. This is the machloket. Mor savar halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, ve'lo mirabo. He holds halacha follows Rabbi Akiva from his friends, from his friend, and not from his rabbi. Meaning, Rabbi Tarfon is Rabbi Akiva's rabbi. So halacha follows Rabbi Akiva when it's against his friend, but not following Rabbi Akiva when it's against Rabbi Tarfon. So that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Umor Savar and Reish Lakish holds halacha afilu merabo. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva even when he goes against his rabbi, even when he goes against Rabbi Tarfon. Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. Maybe that's the answer. So this is one answer that works. Ve'ibayt ema, second answer we can give. The kulei alma, everybody agrees halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion from any of his friend, but not from his Rebbe, not from Rabbi Tarfon. V'hacha behakam lifigin. Really, this is the machloket. Mor savar Rabbi Tarfon rabo hava. Umor savar chavero hava. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe. And so therefore, over here, the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, Rabbi Tarfon is a machloket. It was Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe or not. Reish Lakish says Rabbi Tarfon was not his Rebbe. He was his chaver. He was his chavruta. They learned together. Sometimes they taught one another, but he wasn't necessarily his Rebbe. And so therefore the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, even b'di'avad. And so therefore that's why we retracted the opinion against his friend. So that's answer number two. Answer number three, v'ibayit ema, dekule alma chavero hava. Really, everyone agrees Rabbi Tarfon was only his friend. He wasn't his Rebbe. And this is the machloket. Mor savar halacha itmar, or mor savar matzin itmar. It's a machloket if really what is being taught over here is the halacha is being taught like Rabbi Akiva against his friend, or is it matin? Matin is we tilt the answer to be lechatchila like Rabbi Akiva, but bediavad would be like Rabbi Tarfon. So the first opinion says halacha is like Rabbi Akiva from his friend. That would be according to Reish Lakish. That's why we retract. When they made a mistake and they were posek like Rabbi Tarfon, they retracted his opinion and said, no, halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, we say matin itmar. Over here, they're just tilting the opinion to be like Rabbi Akiva, ideally, but bediavad, after the fact, we don't have to retract on his opinion. Okay, we stop there. We just do a 1 minute recap. We started on the Amud Bet. We started out talking about if a person says, I have I have no claim or argument against your properties and the fruit of your fruits. We asked, what about the fruits itself? The Gemara left it in a question. We didn't have an answer. Then we brought the whole case of Rashbag. Rashbag was, his case was, we said, halachas like him, but not according to his reasoning. So we tried to understand what that means, halachas like him, not according to his reasoning. He said that if the woman dies, the man inherits her. But not according to his reasoning, because he said that if a person makes a condition on what's written in the Torah, the Tanai is batel, and we tried to explain that Rav was even saying in a case of Derabanan, meaning this case was Yerushat HaBaal, according to Rashbag was Deoraita, Rav was saying it was only Derabanan, and that's how we ended with the Maskana, that Rav is of the opinion, it's a machloket, but Rav is of the opinion that the inheritance of the husband is only Midarabanan, and the first opinion, Rashbag, would hold that Yerushat HaBaal is Deoraita. Okay, then we got to a new Mishnah. If somebody had passed away and left over inheritors and a wife and someone he owed money to, so we had a machloket Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon said whoever grabs it is his, or it goes to the it goes to the weaker one, goes to the weakest of the three, and we had a machloket on our Gemara what that meant. Rabbi Akiva said no, we always give it to the inheritors. And then on the Amud Bet we had part number four, we were kind of trying to understand the opinion of the machloket with regards to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. So we gave a few different answers explaining why Reish Lakish came and retracted the opinion to be like Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Yochanan said you made it like a halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim, you don't have to retract the opinion. So there was a few different answers. One answer that Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe, versus Reish Lakish held it was just his friend. Some say everyone holds that Rabbi Tarfon was just his friend. A few different answers we gave, but essentially the point was that Reish Lakish was of the opinion halacha zeh Rabbi Akiva, even b'diavad. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can hold like Rabbi Tarfon b'diavad. Okay, Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen ve'amen.